Welcome to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley, an IFS-informed certified trauma recovery coach. This show features interviews from survivors all over the world as they share their impactful story of thriving in their post-traumatic growth. We explore resources, tools, and coping skills to support the trauma survivor community. Enjoy. So welcome back to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley, an IFS-informed trauma recovery coach, and I have with me today Nick Prefontaine. Thank you so much for joining us. Nick's story is one that we're excited to dive into today. At age 14, Nick suffered a life-threatening snowboarding accident. His parents were told he probably wouldn't ever walk, talk, or eat on his own again, and he did. In his talks, he shares the system that helped him run out of the hospital. He teaches how others can apply the same system to their lives to make it through any trauma, crisis, or life challenge. Nick is a three-time best-selling author and was named a top motivational speaker of 2022 in Yahoo Magazine. He's been featured in Brains Media, Sway, and Authority Magazine. He's a speaker, a founder, and a CEO of Common Goal. Using his STEP step system, he is able to lead clients through their trauma. And once they make it through, this is where their limitless potential lies. Nick, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate having you on. I'm just going to dive right in and kind of let you take over and tell us more from age 14, this horrible accident, everything that you went through. How did you get from there to where you are now with this step program and being a motivational speaker?
Oh, gosh. So excited to be here, Sarah. Thank you for giving me to share this with your audience. It goes back to that fateful day. When I was 14, I was at ski club with my friends. And on the way to the mountain, my friends and I had all brought our snowboard gear onto the bus to get ready so we wouldn't miss any time once we got to the mountain.
Sure.
We got to the mountain, headed straight for the chairlift, and headed to the top. And then going up to the top on the chairlift, we noticed that it was very icy because it had been raining. So people were wiping out everywhere. However, the chairlift went right over the terrain park where all of the jumps were. And coincidentally, it went right over the biggest jump in the terrain park. And I was like, oh, that's what I'm hitting. I'm definitely doing that one. So I got to the top, took a breath of that crisp winter air and confidently charged towards that jump with all my speed. And going up to the jump, Sarah, I caught the edge of my snowboard, which threw me off balance. And that's really the last thing that I remember. I was told that I landed on my head. I wasn't wearing a helmet. And this is something that I learned after the fact. I kind of pieced together the memories. I would wear a helmet from time to time at the bigger mountains, like when I went up to Vermont or just bigger mountains. So I usually had it. However, this day I'd forgot it and I just figured I'd be safe and be careful and nothing was going to happen. It usually didn't. So no, I was told that I had no helmet on. And then they wanted to bring a helicopter to the mountain to rush me to the hospital. They couldn't because it was too windy. So they had to send in an ambulance. And Sarah, out of all the paramedics in the area, there was only one who could intubate right on the spot. And I needed that to be able to breathe. And fortunately for me, there were several things that broke for me that day, which I'm going to be touching on two of them. The first one is that he showed up to the mountain that day because I needed to be intubated right on the spot. The second thing, and this is so crucial, once I got to the hospital, I was out for the count. They said I would have been out for 7 or 10 days based on the impact alone. Mm. However, there was swelling in my brain, so they had to induce me. Make sure I say the right word and not seduce, but they had to induce me. So it was a partially induced coma because they were afraid. If I woke up and I panicked and I was like, what happened? Who are you people? How did I get here? That the swelling in my brain would increase and I would die. Mm-hmm. So it was a partially induced coma. I was out for the count and the doctors, my parents were in there. They were family, immediate family was the only people that were allowed at that point. they were in there, and the doctors, just no fault of their own, came into the room to share with my parents the prognosis. And as you can imagine, at first, in the initial stages, the news was more grim and more grim and more grim every time the doctors would come to my parents to let them know what was going on. However, I always say, up until yesterday or earlier this week on Wednesday, I would always say my parents stopped them. But the podcast I was on was my dad's, and he said, actually, it wasn't me. I'm not going to take credit for it. It was your mom. So my mom stopped them when they came to share that news in front of me, because she understood that even though I was out for the count and totally in a coma, she understood that I was still taking in information. So she made the doctors step outside. And once outside, because she didn't want any of that getting through to me, once outside, the doctors shared with my parents that, look, he's in a coma. The accident was pretty severe. He's in a coma. We're not even sure if he's going to come out. Even if he does, there's a good chance that he's probably not going to be able to walk, talk, or eat on his own again. And thankfully for me, none of this influenced me, whether unconsciously getting through, even though I was out. So I knew no better. So none of this influenced me. And so my mom just, I say my parents, and I'm still giving my dad credit because he married my mom. so they thanked the doctors for the information. They said, okay, thank you for the information. And then this allowed me to just treat it like any other situation. So once I was aware of my surroundings and the work that was left in front of me, because I was in a coma for 3 weeks, I really don't remember a month because it was a partially induced coma, as I mentioned. So after a month coming out and getting my wits about me, it just allowed me to treat it like any other situation. So I got up because I couldn't walk. So right. Getting up for me was whatever my next step was that day. So the very first thing I did was sit up in bed for minutes at a time. And even after that, I'd be sweating profusely. Then I graduated to a fully supported wheelchair, and I kept getting stronger. However, what it allowed me to do, because this information that I probably wouldn't be able to walk, talk, or eat again didn't get through to me, I was just like, all right, I'm just going to get up and treat it like any other situation. And because of that, I kept getting better every day. And I remember early on in my recovery, around this same time, overhearing my parents talking to the doctors and my therapist and saying, all right, what is Nick's next step? Because we want to make sure he makes a full recovery. And what parents wouldn't want for their kid for them to make a full recovery? Of course. However, I heard in the back of my head that, no, you're going to run out. And I couldn't talk at this point either. So I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't talk. I just remember overhearing them and hearing that voice in the back of my head that said, no, you're going to run out. So then running out of the hospital became our common goal. And that's where my whole company's name comes from. That became our common goal, what everyone was striving for to achieve. And unknowingly during that time, and I've had it reflected back to me from a mentor that helped me develop the STEP system over the past several years, is that unknowingly I utilize a system, the STEP system, to not only make a full recovery, but run out of the hospital. STEP is an acronym. It stands for support. You have to make sure that you have your support lined up right from the start. This is going to have you falling back on relationships that you built prior to your setback.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be family, though, just to be clear. And that's something I talk about within the ebook STEP, which I'll give your listeners information how they can get that for free at the end. So T is trust. You have to trust that once you take your first step, your next step is always going to be available to you. Follow it. And then trust, you also have to trust that calling inside of you, that voice in the back of your head, you have to listen to that. E is energy. Maintaining your energy will allow your body to its natural ability to be able to heal itself. So this is a little known thing. When I was in a coma, so not something I had control of. However, when I was in a coma, my parents had someone come in and perform Reiki on me. Oh, wow. So that's something I learned after the fact. And to this day, I get two types of massage, a craniosacral massage. So like a myofascial release kind of thing. I get that every 5 weeks. And then I also get a Tui Na massage, which is basically it's a Chinese massage. And I get that every 5 weeks as well to help keep my energy high, so I'm able to impact and affect other people that are at various stages in their trauma. E is persistence. So persistence, once you've taken your first step, keep getting up every day and taking your next step, no matter how small. And I say that no matter how small, because within those first 60 to 90 days after your accident, if you're getting up and doing something, no matter how small, something every day, you're building a habit and an unstoppable, I'm not saying never take a break. However, by doing something every day, you're building an unstoppable momentum that's going to carry you beyond those first 60 to 90 days that are so crucial. So if you fast forward a little bit, because this is like at my, when I got transported after a month to the rehab hospital in Boston, that's what I'm talking about when I first got there. If you fast forward to less than 60 days later, I did run out of the hospital, and that was my goal, as I said, from the beginning. And it wasn't like my work was done. I had to continue to go to outpatient therapy for another 6 months, physical, occupational, and speech therapy, along with being tutored all summer long, 5 days a week, in order to continue on to high school with the rest of my classmates. So with that, I'll take a step down off my soapbox and see if you have any questions.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. Yes, beautiful story. I love your mom's intuition, and your dad, thank him for marrying her. But that mom's intuition of he's still able to hear this. She could sense that she had a connection with you. So it sounds like between her not letting you be influenced by those doctors and the person who was able to intubate you right there on the mountain, really, because your story could have ended on the mountain, it sounds like, without that intubation. So I love the little miracles along the way, because that gives a lot of hope. We know that TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, as well as emotional trauma, psychological trauma, physical trauma, these things that people go through, it has an effect on the brain. In fact, there are trauma survivors who have been through psychological abuse or emotional abuse that look like they have had TBIs when you do a brain scan with them. The brain is actually affected in multiple areas in a similar way as your situation, which was landing on your unhelmeted head on an icy mountain. And it's just wild to think how similar the brains can be after just going through these horrific kind of things. So I should really appreciate you sharing your story and what that looks like. So let's take a step back before there's the support and trust in yourself, before you're moving into the energy and then eventually building habits and creating persistency. What are those small first steps? Because a lot of trauma survivors, no matter what it is, physical, emotional, etc., you're just kind of in survival mode. You were literally trying to survive for your life. So how do you take that first step into the step system, right? To move forward, you're physically drained or you're psychologically drained. Where are you gathering and mustering up that strength to be able to get started?
Sure. That's a great question. And really, this is interesting because the step system, there's a reason that it's STEP. You have to make sure that you have your support lined up right from the start, whether it's family, friends, neighbors, anyone who's coming around that wants to support you. Yeah. And as long as you have that lined up, then you can you gotta go all across the board. As long as you have that lined up, then you can trust that once you take your first step, And that's why that particular phrase is right there in the STEP system, that you have to get your support lined up first. However, once you have that, you got to trust that once you take your first step, your next step is always going to be available to you. Mm-hmm. The thing was, and the thing about the STEP system, this is actually funny, that when I was working with Trisha Brooke, my mentor, who helped me develop the STEP system and launch my company and everything a few years ago, she said, okay, so I understand you got into a snowboarding accident and you made a full recovery and ran out of the hospital. How'd you do it? And I was like, I don't know. I just got up and did the best I could every day. That's what I did. I don't know. And she kept asking. And to a point, she went seven layers deep and I was frustrated. I was like, I don't know. And she kept going at me and she kept going deeper and deeper. And that's where the whole STEP system came from. It's really just a way that I've tackled anything, and dealt with any kind of adversity in my life. So there, and if I have time, I'll touch on it, because you and I were talking before that you had a little problem with your voice and you were like, what the heck's going on? So that happened to me in 2012. I was, when I was a realtor, I was like, what the heck is wrong with my voice? I couldn't figure it out. And after a year of looking for answers, I finally wound up in a specialist office in Boston. And then I started getting Botox treatments along with working with their highly specialized voice therapist to be able to, so I'd lose my voice when I got the Botox injection a few times a year. And then when I was getting it back, after I would lose it, I work with their highly trained voice specialist so I could retrain myself to speak again. During that process, and that was kind of the impetus of starting Common Goal and the STEP system, because during that process, I used the STEP system. I did the exact same thing. I think I'm more proud of that, probably because of recency bias. But secondly, when I was 14, I was 14. I don't know. It's something I dealt with when I was growing up. However, I applied this STEP system to my voice issue. I had to get Botox treatments and voice therapy for 7 or 8 years until the voice issue was like worked its way out of my system. And I think I'm more proud of that, because all along the way, I heard people say to me over and over, well, you know, your voice isn't that bad. You know, this is the best it's going to get and there's no cure. And I wouldn't accept that. I just kept getting up every day, doing my voice exercise twice a day, along with getting the Botox and working with the specialist and everything, my support, if you think of it, at that time. But I just kept working. And now I've had to learn how to talk again twice, a total of 3 times. But that was kind of the impetus of wanting to do this, because whatever I'm doing in my life, Sarah, it doesn't matter. Because I've always had, no matter how successful in sales or real estate or whatever I'm being, I've always had this voice in the back of my head, back to the voice in the back of my head, because we all have that, which is saying to me, yeah, that's great. But what you really need to be doing is sharing your story from stage and helping other people that are going through trauma get through to the other side and thrive with the rest of their lives. And since I started working with my mentor, it's coming up on 3 years this May, there has been no voice. So to me, that's evidence that I'm doing exactly what I was put on this earth to do.
That's really beautiful. You know, there's so many struggles that come when you're trying to struggle through something, right? So you're already in kind of this difficult situation, but there's going to be setbacks, of course. Was there a point in any of these adversities that you've gone through where you just kind of, it doesn't sound like you probably ever thought about giving up, but was there a moment where like frustration and emotions kind of took over and it's too hard or it's so hard? Did you ever have that like emotional input, or was it just pedal to the metal the whole way?
I got what you meant. Of course. Yeah. I'm human, of course. Yeah. So people hear my story and they think that I'm like immune to ever having doubts or anything. No, of course I had that doubt. And in the hospital, it was when I was in a wheelchair. I remember a very specific day. I would have double sessions of physical, occupational, and speech therapy. I was still in a wheelchair. I had my morning sessions, and then we went back to my room to have lunch. And after having lunch, I was just looking over my situation in the wheelchair. And I looked to my mom, who was my support and with me every day. And I said, Mom, am I ever going to be able to walk again? And she said, of course you are. That's what we're doing here, so you can get everything back and we can go home. So what that allowed me to do was there was that moment of doubt that I had, and it allowed me to just, oh, okay, I don't know what I was thinking. So it just allowed me to keep going forward. And then during the 8 years, I dealt with the voice issue, and going, because my mom again would be the one taking me, because I had to go to Boston to have these voice appointments with a specialist. She'd be the one going with me. She didn't have to. However, she'd be the one going with me. And on the way out one time, and I don't think I've ever shared this on a show. So thank you for pulling it out of me, Sarah. On the way home from Boston one time in the car, because in that appointment, it was a therapy appointment with the therapist. And I was trying to pin her. It was almost when I just started work, just started getting the Botox and just started working with her. I was trying to pin her that, yeah, okay, but I'm going to get my voice back. I spoke fine after my accident. And then this, they couldn't tell me, but I knew an event happened because I don't have time, but I knew I broke my voice by screaming and yelling too much. So I knew there was an event. And then I didn't have my voice, so I knew I could get it back. I was trying to pin her to say that you'll be able to get your voice back from what you had after the accident. But she wouldn't commit to it. She couldn't. She just, liability reasons, if you think of it. So I was frustrated with her, because this is when I just started getting the treatments. And at this point in my life, I was really frustrated. However, I kept going. I kept going forward. So she wouldn't give me an answer. And then I was talking to my mom after, and I was sharing my frustrations with her. And she said that you can't be looking for validation from anyone outside of yourself. You have to know, and you have to have that belief inside yourself that you're going to get your voice back. And there's nothing anyone else can do that will sway you from that. But don't look for, especially doctors, to give you validation that you're going to get to where you want to go, your goal is in your head, and your perfect ideal, because I had that perfect ideal even right after my accident when I was in a hospital bed. I knew where I wanted to get to. I had that ideal. The doctors couldn't tell me I was going to get there. Right. And in this case, the voice therapist couldn't tell me I was going to get there. However, I had that belief inside myself. And again, I just shared another moment of doubt. So that's like another moment of doubt and frustration. And I share that, Sarah, because we're all human. We all have moments of doubt and frustration.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Nick, such a beautiful story. I thank you so much for sharing it with us today. I always have to ask all of my guests before we wrap up, and I want to be able to give you a minute to plug where people can find you. But before that, and you've listed so many resources. I mean, you had someone to intubate you who saved your life. Obviously, your mom was a huge part of that, the Reiki. Is there any resources that were helpful and catalysts in your healing journey that maybe you haven't mentioned? And if you think you've mentioned them all, what was the number one thing that was the most crucial that you wouldn't be here without?
This is something that still to this day, so I wouldn't have got my voice back, or it may have taken a lot longer the second time, if I didn't have this approach, which is, and this is, again, not something I've shared on a show before. So I'm glad you pulled it out of me. I wouldn't have got to where I am without two things. I'm doing the medical, the conventional medicine, like getting the Botox, there is nothing on earth natural that can do what it did to my voice and like relaxing my voice. And then when I got in the accident, obviously I needed modern medicine. So that getting modern medicine and at the same time also doing natural, not one or the other. There are so many people nowadays that think that, medicine, it's so bad for you. I'm not going to do it. Or natural, that's a crock. That's crazy. I'm just going to do medicine. You have to do both. And I shared one of my last injections. I shared with the voice specialist, Dr. Song, that all the therapies and all the massages and things that I was doing in between every one of these Botox treatments. And he said, he reflected for a little bit and said, that's why you're continuing to make progress. And that was, I think, one up. That was my last or my second to last Botox treatment that I said that to him. Because there are so many people that either do one or the other, but you have to marry them. You have to do both.
Yeah.
Because when you do both, you allow the magic of both of them. Like, they each have their place.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I often talk here on the show about the mind, body, spirit connection. That's really, really important for trauma survivors to kind of go back online spiritually, connecting with their body and having that mental clarity and wellness. And I think in this instance, because we're talking more about the physical body, but that spiritual side of having the support of the therapist or the Reiki, which is energy healing, those things bringing your spirit and your body back together as one is what's going to create that true healing. So I'm hearing a lot of balance in there, which is really, really powerful. I really appreciate that. Nick, it's been awesome to chat with you today. Please tell people where they can find you, where they can find your work or get in touch with you if they have more questions. And I'll have all of this linked up in the show notes below.
Sure. Actually, I'm going to combine this and throw it all into one. I have a free gift for everyone. And that what we covered is really just a 10,000 foot view of the STEP system. However, if they go to nickprefontaine.com/step, they can download the whole STEP system for free today. And that's going to teach them all about support, trust, energy, and persistence. And like I said, we only had time to cover a fraction, but that goes into detail on how they can apply it to their lives. And they can find me at that same website, nickprefontaine.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time. You have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks, Sarah. Bye.
Thank you for listening to or watching this episode of the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. Please subscribe, like, share, and follow. For any information that was discussed in this podcast episode, check out the show notes below. Until next time, be well.